come to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man, a man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his sons, his two sons, were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they, the two sons, took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return unto thee, with thee unto thy people. Let me read that verse again. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And Naomi said to Ruth, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, or where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word this morning. Mother's Day is a fascinating day for me in a lot of ways. And why it's fascinating is watching how that folks react to their mamas on this day. Some folks don't give them the time of day all year long until Mother's Day. That's sad. And some do at Christmas time and then at Valentine's Day. But they all seem to get their minds right when it comes to Mother's Day. Our Mother's Day has its roots in England's Mothering Sunday, it's called. In the 1600s, young men and women who lived away from home as apprentices or servants returned home on Mothering Sunday, bringing their mothers small gifts or a mothering cake. Mother's Day did not officially start here in the United States or begin here until 1910 in West Virginia. Anna Jarvis campaigned to have a day set aside to honor mothers after her own mother died in 1905. She first convinced her church to set aside a Sunday to honor mothers in 1908. She wore a white carnation to honor her mother And soon after, the tradition of wearing a red carnation to honor a living mother and a white carnation to honor a mother that had passed again was instituted pretty much voluntarily. Thus, in 1910, West Virginia, the state, adopted a formal holiday honoring mothers. Well, this caught fire, and before long, by 1911, a majority of states picked up the holiday as well, which would cause President Woodrow Wilson in 1914 to officially proclaim Mother's Day as a national holiday to be held the second Sunday of May. Also, he proclaimed that Providence Baptist Church would have breakfast every second Sunday in May with sausage and biscuits and gravy.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, what a good excuse to have breakfast, fellas. Naomi was a lady who was a godly lady. And I believe that Naomi received this training way before she ever met her husband. As a matter of fact, we can tell she received this training because she was dedicated to her husband. She was obedient to him. And also she was dedicated to her sons as well, as the narrative gives us. In obedience to her husband, I guarantee you Naomi would have loved to have stayed right where they were when the famine struck amongst family, because there's always strength in numbers. But I got a feeling that Elimelech was one of those guys who just absolutely operated from the seat of his pants a lot of times and moved his family from up in Israel down to Moab, a godless country that Israel had many times warred with. Just up and moving down there. We don't have any record of him getting with God and asking God what to do during his famine time. Naomi, in obedience to her husband, went with him. And there in that land, she stayed the course with her religion, her belief system. Now, Brother Darrell, how do you know she did? Well, after her husband passed on, after her sons passed on, and she's left with two daughter-in-laws, she still is maintaining obedience to God. Well, Brother Darrell, again, how do you know so? Because so wonderful, so great, so intense, if I can use all the adjectives you want me to, was her obedience to God that her daughter-in-law, Ruth, took notice of it and took it to heart and watched her mother-in-law day in and day out while she was married to her son. And the thing that Ruth says to prove this is, I want your God to be my God. Ruth didn't just come to that off the spur of the moment. Ruth probably had family in Moab herself. Ruth could have gone home to her gods and to her family in Moab. But look, the very witness of Naomi's life, Naomi's religion, of all that she was, even down in the godless country of Moab, was so good, so direct, so constant, that her daughter-in-law wanted her God to be her God. And the Moabites had tons of God. She could have found many gods down there to worship. But no. During this time that she's in this family, what she has learned, I believe, from Naomi has impacted her so great that, oh man, she cannot go back to where she was. Ruth can't go back to those gods. Those weren't real gods. She can't go back to the devilish things they did in Moab. She couldn't go back to that lifestyle. She couldn't go back to that sin, that degradation, that filth down there. She wouldn't. She couldn't. I want your God to be my God, because if your God has done for you what I've seen He's done with your life, then I want your God. Now, the detractor will say, her God hasn't been too good to her. Her husband's died down there and left her alone. Her two boys have died and left her alone, surely. And now she's got to make her way back to Israel. And she's heard that the famine's over. But what's she going to do when she gets there? But this woman, she believes in God. She's been in obedience to God no matter what it was. She stayed obedient to her husband. She was obedient to raising her sons. You might say that she became mama to those girls. They both hugged her and clave to her when she says, "I'm going back." But one of them gals, Orpah, had not got from Naomi what Ruth had gotten. Orpah had not seen the depth of the Spirit in Naomi toward her God. And as a result, she kissed her mother because there's nothing to get from her any longer. Her mother-in-law, rather. And she heads back to Moab. Ruth? No. Ruth is going to stay right there. Now, let me show you something, ladies. How it is that this all came about for Ruth. Yeah, I think you can let go of Ruth. And we'll come back that next year and I'll do part two. But if you will, I'd like you to go with me to the New Testament. And I want you to go to chapter 2 of Titus. Chapter 2 of Titus. I believe that for the godly women of Israel, this was something they did all the time. And I know for a fact, amongst my forebears, the women of my family, this is what they did. If you'll notice in chapter 2, Paul is writing to Titus. And to Titus he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Chapter 2, verse 1. "That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience." Now look at verse 3. "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness." I believe this is what Naomi portrayed in front of Ruth. "Becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." I believe that's what Naomi was doing. "That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children." Can you see Naomi here, folks? Well, say amen, ladies. "To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Man, I'll get to you the second Sunday in June. That's the next verses. But look there. Here is Naomi. Obedient to her husband, but in the main obedient to her God. Her husband, Elimelech, may have been a ne'er-do-well, just up and moving them down to Moab, knowing what Moab was like. And more than likely, Naomi tried her best to get her sons not to marry those Moabite women. But no doubt those sons took after their father and did as they pleased in spite of all that Naomi tried to do for them. But nonetheless, God always has His providential dealings. And what God has desired to do from before the world ever was will come to pass. And the real truth, the essence of the story of Ruth, is that she was down there in Moab and God intended to go get her by the means of a godly woman by the name of Naomi.
That's right.
Yeah. Are you hearing me today? God intended to save Ruth by the witness, by the instruction of that godly woman, Naomi. Though when she goes back to Israel, she's somewhat bitter. Of course, that's going to change. And you can't help her. She's been moved down there by her husband. He dies. He's left her along her sons. They married Moabitish women. And they die. And now here she is alone. And now she's got to make her way back to Israel. Alone. Everything looks bad, but she has stayed with God, and God has stayed with her. I can see her living out chapter 2 of Titus there before those gals. And for one of them, it took. Not only do we see this here in the New Testament, but turn to the book of Proverbs with me, and I guarantee you, all over this country this morning, in most churches, many of the pastors will be preaching from chapter 31 of Proverbs. And it should be that every woman, when she's a girl, ought to have read this chapter. Every mama ought to have showed it to her daughter. Every godly woman, every saved woman should have showed it to her daughter, read it over and over with her, and said to her daughter, this is what you need to be. This is a godly woman in view here. Notice, if you will, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. In other words, she's weaving there, making cloth. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet, meaning they all have cloaks to wear in the winter. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Not that she has a rich husband, not that she has a lot of money, but she works to do those things. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I've lived by this principle most of my life. I call it the Ob principle. You might want to write it down. You might want to use it. Obedience brings blessing. Now, for every sense of the word, as you look here, it seems like a poor old Naomi has been given a raw hand. But it's not true. As a matter of fact, God is intending to not only restore to her the blessings of His love for her, not that they ever waned, but also to give her seed to carry on her good name. Going back to the book of Ruth now, I should have told you to keep your hand there. If you've ever read the story in full, and I hope you have, just four chapters, you know that what's going to happen is Ruth is going to meet one of Naomi's near kinsmen by the name of Boaz. And they're going to fall in love. And they're going to get married. And when she marries Boaz, she ceases to be a Moabitess and becomes now of the house of Israel. She becomes one with Boaz. And together, they have a child. Look at chapter 4 with me. Verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Naomi, you're still going to be famous in Israel. God has granted you seed, a kinsman, if you will. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. She took care of that child from then on. Not that she had to, but man, she's so pleased. God has honored her obedience to him. And this child is the most precious thing. She lost her husband. She lost her sons. But she gained a grandchild. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There's a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. By the way, Obed will become the father of Jesse. And Jesse would become the father, look there at verse 17, the father of King David. Out of Ruth the Moabite's loins came a king. All because Naomi was obedient to God. I don't care what you do with the story. You can't believe anything other than Naomi stayed the course down in Moab. I don't believe for a moment that Naomi wanted to go to Moab. But she stayed obedient to her husband and went with him. And down there, she did her best to raise her sons. And they took Moabitish women. Now, you know that had a stick in Naomi's craw. Well, why, Brother Darrell? Why would that stick in her craw? If you go back and look, you'll find that when Isaac was born and grew up to be a man, there was no way in the world that Abraham and Sarah was going to let him marry any of the women around about them. As a matter of fact, what Abraham does is send his servant back down to the family that lives in Ur of the Chaldees and gets him a bride and brings her back from their own kin. And if you'll look, Rebecca does the same thing. She's not going to let Jacob marry any of the women around them. They were godless whores. No way are they going to marry those women. So she sends him back down to his uncle's house. And there he finds that doe-eyed Rachel, falls in love with her. Of course, he came back with more than he bargained for. So you know, if those folks were up in the arms about anybody marrying outside the confines of the nation of Israel, you got to know that it ached her heart for her boys to marry Moabite women. Oh, she could see around what Moab was like. She makes the comment to to Ruth about Orpah, and says she went back to her gods. Moab was godless as far as the great God Jehovah. They had all kinds of gods otherwise, but the one that really meant something, they had nothing to do with. So I'm going to close on this. Here she was, down in that place. And she still remained a woman of grace. And not only did she remain a woman of grace, she became also a woman of mercy. A woman who still, the fact that her sons had married these gals, still made them of her household. And applied what she knew of Jehovah God to them. One got it, but didn't want it. The other got it and wanted it. She was the one who would become the grandmother of King David. The great-grandmother, but still. Think about that. Obedience brings blessing. I don't think that any woman who will apply herself to raising her daughters in a godly manner will ever go unblessed because of it. Getting to church with them. Showing them to Jesus. We live in a culture today that mothers will teach their daughters to drink and smoke and carry on in crowds more than they will anything else. It's sad to watch some of the things that goes on. I've watched our society just absolutely become moral free, ethics free, and absolutely have no desire to do that which is right in the eyes of God. This year, more than any year that I can remember, I have watched on Facebook as mothers have been just overjoyed about taking their 7th and 8th grade daughters and their teen daughters and dress them up like streetwalkers to go to proms and things. I looked at one picture from some folks that I know, and I was so brokenhearted. Their daughter's dress was slit clean up her leg. Didn't leave much to the imagination. The front was cut down to almost her navel. The back was completely out of it. They had painted her face up with makeup. I mean, it's unbelievable. And sent her out. I'm sorry. We didn't let our daughter go out like that. Be a Naomi. Be a Naomi.